It's On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. One of the most lopsided games in college football history happened in 1916. The final score was 222-0, with Georgia Tech winning over Cumberland College. A new book looks back at that historic game and its influence on modern college football, and Sam Hatcher is the author of Heisman's First Trophy, the game that launched football in the South. He joins me on the line. Hi there.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm glad to have you with us.
Well, thank you.
Let's start with your claim, which is somewhat controversial, that this game launched football in the South. I mean, we're talking 1916, so at this point, football was in its very, very early days. But why do you point to this game as the real launch?
Well, really, because so much of the media attention that came to this game, and largely because of the score of the game, I think, and prior to this game, for 48 years prior to this game, there had only been mentioned two schools from the South who could be possible national champions. That was LSU and Auburn. And even they didn't get the acclaim or the public attention that they perhaps deserved because they were from the South. Most of the national champions up until this point had always come from the Northeast or the North: Pittsburgh, Army, Harvard, Princeton, Pennsylvania. These schools had dominated the sport up until this game was played in 1916. And I think because of the score of the game, so much of the media became so involved in reporting the game because of that, it really made a difference for football in the South.
So now, Georgia Tech at that point was favored to go into the national championship game, but Cumberland College was kind of an amazing and dramatic story how they ended up. Why did this little college, which is now Cumberland University, why did this college end up in a game with the Goliath, David against the Goliath?
Well, it's a crazy story, and it's a story that's been around for 100 years, obviously, but Cumberland had been actually a football power itself. Back in 1903, Cumberland had beaten teams like Alabama and Vanderbilt and Tulane, LSU, and actually played Clemson in a bowl game in 1903, and Cumberland had quite a history during that period. So Cumberland had played, you know, you might say, with the bigger schools up until some point. And then in 1915, the school fell on really tough financial times, and it became necessary. The Board of Trustees voted to disband the football team for the 1916 season. So a student manager who was in charge, sort of like an athletic director in today's times, the student manager was in charge of making the schedules and canceling games or whatever, and he canceled all the games on the 1916 schedule except the game against Georgia Tech. And he didn't realize this until actually the fall when school returned in 1916 in August or September, when the students returned to campus. Then they realized that the game against Tech had not been canceled. And John Heisman, the legendary John Heisman, who was the coach of the Georgia Tech team at the time, insisted that the game be played in Atlanta. And this student manager by the name of George Allen recruited 14 Kappa Sig fraternity brothers. They hop on a train, they go to Atlanta and play this game against John Heisman, essentially to save...
Knowing they were going to lose.
Knowing they were going to lose. But the reason they did it, their incentive, which I like to say the book is a romantic novel to some degree, because these 14 kids, as they were in 1916, loved their university so much that they were willing to go to Atlanta, not knowing what the outcome was going to be, bodily harm or whatever. They went to Atlanta to play John Heisman's team because, if they didn't, John Heisman had threatened in a letter to sue the university, Cumberland University, for breach of contract, for failure to play the game.
Now, they would think that with a score of 222-0, that would be humiliating for Cumberland and a huge, ridiculous victory for Georgia Tech. But it ended up, as it went down in the history books, the opposite way around. Cumberland sees that game fondly. Georgia Tech is embarrassed. Why?
Well, for Cumberland is a really small school. We have our largest enrollment this year, 1,963 students. It's a liberal arts school in Middle Tennessee, about 30 miles east of Nashville. And for Cumberland, it's been an important event because there's been so much media attention to this for Cumberland. And I think I'm a member of the Board of Trust myself at Cumberland, and I think we take pride maybe in the fact that Cumberland back in the day played major football powers like Georgia Tech, and that this game is remembered from that standpoint. And I think for Georgia Tech, it may be somewhat of an embarrassment because of the 222-0 score. You know, today it's not too popular among college teams to beat another team by a large margin. I think they call those style points is what they refer to those in today's football. And, you know, that's not so popular. And I think for Georgia Tech, they look back on this as maybe not such a, you know, such a good thing for their history.
So you chose to write a novel instead of a nonfiction book. Why?
Well, I think really the truth about that is that if I had just reported about the game, and interesting enough, there are a lot of reports about this game, major newspapers carried accounts of the game, play-by-play descriptions of the game, which I find really interesting. But I think if I did that, number one, it would just be a repeat of what's already available. But number two, I think it would be sort of boring if you want to know the truth. And I call this a novel because so much of the conversation between the main characters in this book has been recreated because, of course, it's 100 years old. The event is 100 years old, so, you know, most of that conversation was recreated. However, the story is very true. It's got so many interesting turns and twists to it. It's a book that's really not just for a football fan, but for someone who may just enjoy a light reading, to be honest with you.
So there are the publicity and the media attention was not the only reason you say this game has lasting impacts on modern college football. What are the other ways in which this game still makes its presence known?
Well, you know, the anniversary of the game every year, you know, I never fail to realize or see or when Georgia Tech is playing a game in October, you'll always there'll always be a reference to this game that was played 100 years ago. And, you know, the announcer will always say it was on this field that Georgia Tech beat Cumberland University of Lebanon, Tennessee, 222-0. So I think the game continues to live on. But there are some things that came as a result of this from player, you know, like things that John Heisman did that he contributed to the sport, which is sort of interesting. Heisman was he was a person who brought so much to football that we still use today. The T formation, the forward pass. John Heisman was the first person to create the forward pass. And of course we see every weekend, every Saturday, we see how the forward pass has changed modern-day football. Interesting enough, in the book, I make a reference to a guy named Strupper who played for Georgia Tech. He later became a sports writer, and he was the one who was covering a game between Alabama and Mississippi State and said that Alabama's line was so large they looked like red elephants. And that's, of course, where Alabama got its mascot, the Red Elephant, and its nickname, the Red Elephants. So, you know, there's so many things intertwined in this book that have lasted with us, you might say, for more than 100 years.
Sam Hatcher is the author of Heisman's First Trophy, The Game That Launched Football in the South. Sam, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for letting me share this.
Be sure to join me Thursday. We'll have a special hour on sports in the South, and we'll give another listen to some of our favorite segments about the importance of athletes to Georgia's culture. It's tomorrow at 9 a.m.